Thanks, Rob. It's Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. Big news today, not just today, but in the last couple of weeks about the buying of Rapoport's, the Sun-Times, and the Reader, and who the bids are in. We've heard a lot about a former alderman's bid, as well as Tronc, Michael Fair, who used to be the major stockholder at Rapoport's. This has been a big issue in Chicago. Scott Smith in studio with us tonight to talk about this, to talk about not-for-profit media, which is a big deal. It's ProPublica hiring people away from the Tribune. And then also about Facebook and publishing, which is a great conversation. Scott Smith, of course, editorial content director and also new media contributor here at The Download. Good to see you, buddy.
Always good to be here.
All right, so let me ask you first off about this deal. Today I saw in Cranes that the Sun-Times, the bid from Eisendrath was $1.
Yep.
And it confused the heck out of me.
Like, I got it right here.
You got it right there?
I'm all set. I'm going to go walk across the street, and I'm going to see
I'm like,
happens.
Boy, newspapers have gone downhill. They were right. $1. I get that that's some sort of financial mumbo-jumbo, but what
right.
is that? If you can nutshell that, what does that mean to say $1?
So essentially, if you're looking at the valuation of a newspaper, and Ken Doctor, who writes under Newsonomics, does all this kind of stuff, and he's been following a lot of the things that have been going on with Tronc's efforts to buy various properties or get bought by various
right.
properties. It's the valuation of a newspaper at this point is generally considered to be about 3 to 4 times over the earnings that a newspaper has, the kind of money that's coming in before you look at things like taxes, interest, depreciation. So like
sure.
whatever equipment they own, like how old that is and what the value of those assets are and amortization. So you start to look at a newspaper, which traditionally has and some particularly something like the Sun-Times, which doesn't own its own building. It's over in the over on Orleans there. It doesn't have a ton of assets.
Yeah, it doesn't have its printing press, right.
Right. So it doesn't own a lot of things. The value of it, once you start to do the actual financial calculations, starts to basically look like around $1 for the actual purchase price. And then you start to look at, okay, well, what other things are going on in there? Well, the Rapoport's people are going to want some kind of payment for the stuff that they own, the
there's
kind of interest that they
yeah.
have in the company. You start to look at how much does it cost to actually run the organization.
Yearly budget. Right, right, right.
So that's where you start to get into this money of, okay, yeah, it costs $1 to actually buy the newspaper, that actual financial transaction. But then you start to look at, well, we want about $10 to $12 million from a bidder so that we think this person can actually run the business on an ongoing basis.
Right.
And that's where you start to get into the competing bids. If you read, you know, Rob Feeder, he's saying that the Eisendrath group has about $15 million. I think Ken Doctor said they had something more like 10. The Tronc bid is coming in at around 10. So that begins to be what the antitrust division starts to look at and say, okay, do these individual bidders all have money? And if there are multiple people with the money and the wherewithal and the vision, if you will, to kind of pull this off, then we're going to actually block Tronc's attempt to buy the Sun-Times because if they buy them, it is in fact a monopoly because there's other people
but
in the market who could in fact buy
and,
them.
And it's interesting because that has been a marketing campaign as well, this idea of no Chicago news monopoly. We've had some people on from The Reader that were even on this show and others who have really pushed this out. They've pushed this to say this is something we don't want.
Right.
How much of that is marketing and how much of the Department of Justice, a Department of Justice that is very business friendly at this point, how much do they take that into account? Is that something that is really just about a battle for the hearts and minds of Chicagoans, or is it something seriously and legitimate that the Department of Justice could consider?
Yeah, there was a really interesting article in Adweek about the idea of this sort of iconic brand of Tribune being lost. Tribune Media is being bought by Sinclair. Tronc is now not even Tribune anymore, and mm-hmm. you know they're going to, et cetera, all these sort of news brands and things. So when you start to look at what do you lose by losing a two-newspaper town, you have two things, right? You have the ability to generate more news, right? You know, there's only so many people who can do so many, you know, news-related tasks. It's always good to have more of those folks, particularly in the kind of world we're living in right now. So you want more news, but then when it comes to the Tribune and the Sun-Times, there's always been this question of ideology. The idea that Tribune has traditionally been, particularly their editorial board, more right-leaning, and the Sun-Times, some things aside, has traditionally been more left-leaning. And so we're also having a question about, are we going to lose the ability to have a sort of true meeting of the minds, yeah, an exchange of ideas.
But that's
and
just,
things
these
like
are
that.
Just questions, though. I mean, right, the idea so far, what we've heard on the record from Tronc, is that they have no plans to make it a one newspaper town. They want to keep the Sun-Times, they want to keep the Newsroom. They want to have some sort of editorial, you know, firewall if they can. And I understand the concerns, and I understand, right, the threats to that. But at what point do you do the when you do this marketing battle for the hearts and minds, that, you know, it starts to distort what actually is the, not the, I don't know if it's the truth, but just the idea that, you know, Tronc is interested in that product for that product, maybe not to consolidate and make it one product.
You know, I think you have to start looking at the individual things that the newspapers cover very well. I mean, I think Tribune does a really excellent job of the kind of deep, go into the details, go into the contract, go file the FOIAs, go spend months on an investigation into something that's going on in City Hall. And they've got the resources to actually pull that off. The stuff that the Sun-Times does really well is kind of going deep into education, not to take away from the education stuff that the Tribune does, but they're generally, yeah, that's a bit, they've developed that as a bit more of a specialty. But you do have to start to look at some of the other things that the Sun-Times does really well at this point. And it's really in covering different aspects of the city, whereas the Tribune, in its distribution pattern, does really look at the surrounding suburbs as well and say, you know, what should we be covering there? And the kind of content we're doing is more geared towards the suburbs.
Well, I'd
the
be
Sun-Times.
The first to say that, you know, the area is such a huge area to cover. And not just Chicago, but the surrounding area, the region, it has to be served by two newspapers. I mean, I would say that's my opinion to say you have to have both newspapers. The question I have is that can we assume that if Tronc does get the bid and bids sometimes that they would see that as well? I mean, there may be some corporate or financial sort of positive to the idea of keeping the Sun-Times brand.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's Sun-Times has a lot of value. The Sun-Times has a lot of meaning for folks. The thing that I think that's been missing out of the conversation in the last couple of weeks, and there were plenty of flags to this in the interview that Eisendraft had in Feeder's column, is that he's talking very specifically about moving them to quote-unquote other platforms, yeah, to the point where he's saying that he's in part of the overall idea of what he wants to do involves a purchase of Answers Media, which and a digital content studio.
Yeah.
And I know people get itchy when they hear the word content, but it's essentially sounds like a sort of full service digital video content studio, something that is really lacking in both newspapers' wheelhouses at this point. The Sun-Times has gone through many different iterations of an attempt at digital strategy, most of them kind of permanently flawed. The Tribune, while it certainly does some video work, it is not known for that. It does not have that as a sort of calling card for what it does. So you could, in fact, say that with this vision that Eisendraft has, he could develop a very specific digital, particularly emphasizing video, news operation. And it seems very clear that that is his intention. I mean, they do have a very, Sun-Times has a very expensive contract with Tronc right now. And pretty much everybody agrees whoever buys that thing is going to be looking to renegotiate that come the end of
for
the
printing.
For right, printing, right,
right. Right.
And so they're going to look to get out from underneath that quite onerous contract. It's getting a lot of profits for Tronc right now. The one way you could move to that in about a couple of years is to just go all digital.
Yeah.
And you could look at a model that reduces a lot of the overhead that a traditional news organization, which sometimes still is, and get rid of a lot of that overhead, and maybe not even get rid, you're not going to necessarily get rid of headcount, but you're going to get rid of a lot of the
But you've been, you and I have been around long enough to know that this is not the first time that has been floated. I mean, even the guy who runs Tronc right now was, when he bought Rapports and bought the Sun-Times, that was the idea to make it more of a digital space. The idea of Eisendraft purchasing Answers Media, or having that be part of the
and
deal.
Being upfront about it.
Being upfront about it. That's something new, because we've heard a lot of millionaires and billionaires say, oh, this would be great digital website. It's going to be awesome. And then we get his pop-ups and, you know, and ad blockers. You know,
yeah, like
it's
exactly.
Like nothing that blows our mind and thinks at all about the digital space. So, I mean, by just throwing Answers Media out there and saying, hey, you know, I got this company as well. Does that change the game, or are we still, should we be reserved as consumers to say, yeah, when people say they're going to do something, let's first see how it plays out?
Yeah, I'm going to guess that when, if the Eisen draft bid goes through, what the sometimes becomes is very, very different from what it is now. The sort of traditional model of a newspaper, and there are certain kind of, there's the education beat and the city hall beat, and, you know, you're chasing the crime stories and police and fire and things like that. I think would be, you would have to kind of walk away from that in a lot of ways, because you would have to walk away from the newsroom organization that is revolving still around print. And you'd have to move in a direction that looks a lot more like something to the effect of what kind of DNA Info does and the sort of publishing strategy that it has.
How do you do that? I mean, Scott, you and I mean, the unions now at the Sun-Times, an old guard that still does things a certain way in news.
Right.
There's been a lot of pushback to even what Michael Farrell tried at Rapports with Sun-Times, even the Reader. I mean, I can understand that staff would be much more interested in not having a news monopoly or their old boss back.
Right.
But at a certain point, there's going to be pushback to the actual people who have to produce that content.
Yeah, there is.
Right?
And there will be. And but it also requires complete retraining, a complete overhaul of workflow. I mean, anybody that's ever worked in a newsroom knows that, and that it really doesn't matter so much about the quality of the content, because you assume that as a baseline
that's
that you're going to hire good writers.
That's going to be there.
But it's more of the, how do you actually get this stuff going? What's the editing process
the
like?
The presentation, the organization, the platform, all that kind of stuff that when those words start and swirling around in old newsroom, they're like, no.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Hold on tight. We've been Scott Smith, our new media contributor here at The Download. Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back. We got to talk Facebook and how publishers are getting angry. This has been our story. We've talked about this for a couple of years now. Scott Smith on The Download. Stay with us. Scott Smith in studio. He's the editorial director at Teamworks Media. He's also our new media contributor here in The Download, talking about all the stories that have been happening in Chicago around the media. We saw this week, which is an interesting story, ProPublica continues to hire reporters from the Tribune, from other places. They're putting together a staff. There's thoughts of other not-for-profits coming in. And there's this question at the core, and it was interesting when I read this piece, about is there enough money in the not-for-profit world to sustain news startups? You're going to bring in new stuff, you're going to do it, and they're all going to be going to the same foundations and the same places to say, we'd like a grant to continue this work. We're doing great stuff. I mean, is there enough money to go around to support a nonprofit news ecosystem in Chicago?
I mean, I guess it depends on how many billionaires stay in the Illinois governor's race. You know, like, that's where the money is right now.
Those are all the...
That's all I think. That's
really
like a couple of those people have been known to donate to news organizations in the past and fund them. You know, I think there probably is. I mean, you know, you've got all the folks at, you know, McCormick and MacArthur and Community Trust in some ways has that kind of money and is still, I think, devoted to a lot of that. They struggle like anybody else how to figure out how to take the money and actually put it towards something that's sustainable. I mean, we were talking before the break about, you know, you assume you're going to have great writers and editors, but it's all the workflow, and it's how do you take the thing from the idea to words on the page and get it going. It's a lot of, you know, kind of nuts and bolts kind of thing. And it has nothing to do in a lot of ways with money. The thing that you really wonder about is what is going to be the core mission of some of these places. So ProPublica is pretty clear on the way that they operate, the kinds of stories that they do, the kinds of, you know, very much the, everybody says they do watchdog reporting, but ProPublica does a really, really specific kind of job, and they partner with folks to do it and things like that. You know, some of the other folks that were mentioned in the piece that Lynn Merrick did, you know, Chalkbeat, which does a lot of education reporting. Right. We were talking about how a lot of that gets covered by Sun-Times and BEZ and WTTW, you know, has an education reporter devoted to that. But there are tons of other stories you could do here. So there is some space there. And then I think when you start to look at something like, you know, Bill Keller's organization, how do you take something like that and actually give it a mission beyond just sort of like overall justice and overall kind of death penalty kinds of things and stuff like
that? Well, I mean, it could be a boon, or it could be, you know, the well could run dry.
Right.
Let's talk about, I want to do this before we break because we're running out of time, but I want to spend some time talking about Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, we had
Bruce Sagan in here from Sun Times and Rapports at one point. Others have told this story. They don't see the media likes to tell the story that it's Trib versus Sun Times or papers versus papers and two newspaper towns. They don't see it that way. What they see is newspapers versus Facebook and the digital platforms that are essentially quietly, we're not even paying attention to this, robbing them of financial opportunity by creating systems and ad works and everything where we just share the piece and the article that you read on Facebook stayed on Facebook, and these publishers like USA Today, New York Times, Washington Post, Chicago Tribune, they don't see a dime. They're getting angry about this.
Well, there's a couple things happening. So one, the model for sustaining news has gone from advertising revenue to pretty much anything but advertising revenue. Right. And that's in part because Facebook and Google have sucked up most of that money between being able to target locally people walking by on their phones to being able to have all the data in the known universe at Facebook's fingertips and figuring out how to hyper-target. I mean, you've seen even stories of people being like, here's the time I hyper-targeted my roommate with a Facebook ad specifically for him and taunted him with it, things like that. I mean, it can get very, very specific.
Crazy.
So all that money is going over there, and what newspapers are seeing is that, in fact, the better way to go is subscriptions. And so they have to deliver as high value a product as they can to get people to give over money, and most of the kind of marketing that they're trying to do now is being pushed away from digital revenue side and more towards a subscription. Meanwhile, Facebook, had it said, this is the type of content we love from news publishers, and we're going to continue to figure out a way to optimize Facebook around that content, let's say it's articles or videos, then great. Everybody would be happy. But what they've continued to do, Facebook is Facebook, and their only concern with what happens on Facebook is, well, okay, we want you to do live streams. You know what? It turns out we actually want you to do short form video. Actually, we were wrong. We want you to do long form video. And we've talked about this in every topic tonight. It is the workflow that is the hardest thing to change. And so every time Facebook changes its mind, it's fairly easy for Facebook to change the algorithm that surfaces different kinds of content.
But it's difficult
for
an organization.
It's 6 months for a news organization
to restrategize. Yeah, you nailed it.
Yeah.
Because even I remember this being, you know, working in websites. When I would work on a website and I'd be doing what Facebook told you to do and what someone had a meeting with on a Tuesday at 3 o'clock to tell us best practices to do that. And you do it for a couple months and they're like, you're doing it wrong. And you're like, what? I mean, it moves. There is no consistency. So how do publishers, like newspapers and others, have to protect themselves in that regard?
Well, I think what you're seeing now is the goal is to get and protect as much of their data as possible. So we've seen the resurgence in email newsletters, for example, and that's because once you've captured somebody's email address, you can remarket to them for all kinds of things, whether it's subscriptions or what have you. I think the other thing is we're now seeing companies that have news organizations that have paywalls are tightening them. The Washington Post is a clear example of that. The Boston Herald, I think, was another example of that. So they are now figuring out that, okay, when somebody comes in from Google, let's say, and they hit the paywall at 5, they're actually more likely to subscribe than if we keep it open at 10, for example. Right. So there are all kinds of different testing. Newspapers are getting better at developing their own technology.
The workarounds that consumers have figured out to keep it free are starting to dwindle.
Some of that, Wall Street Journal has been tightening up its paywall as well, but it's more about understanding who's coming in the door, whether they're coming in from search engines, whether they're coming in from social, and figuring out, okay, this consumer over here from search is more likely to give over their money at this threshold versus this person, let's say, who's coming in from the Apple News app, probably never going to subscribe to our paper because they got, you know, served a news article via an algorithm. So we're not going to try to target them as for a subscriber. Mm-hmm. We're just going to target the search people that are coming in locally. And they're getting better at that. They're getting better at building their own technology. And so what they used to look to Facebook for was technology and making their articles load faster and all those kinds of things. And a really, you know, good native video platform. Newspapers are starting to really get caught up and be as good as Facebook at serving the content out.
Right.
And when you have things like Google's AMP pages, for example, they're finding other places where they can get what Facebook was offering. And so Facebook seems less attractive.
We got a break here, but I definitely want to continue the conversation. We could have the conversation just about how Facebook and Google will there ever be competition to those sites from publishers? We also can have the conversation about, do we all need to suck it up and pay for news? Like, at a certain point, there's no more workarounds on the internet. We just have, just like back in the 70s when you paid a quarter to read the paper.
Yeah.
You know, the idea of leaving the paper on the bus is gone.
I think the biggest worry that I would have if I was a news publisher is a time when Facebook says it's too much work to keep engagement going around news content, we're going to go in another direction. And that's when newspapers really have to worry.
Scott Smith is the editorial director at Teamworks Media. He's also our new media contributor here on The Download. Scott, great to see you, bud.
Good to see you.